Tropical Storm Isaac has postponed the start of the Republican National Convention in Tampa. Under a revised schedule, Governor Scott Walker will speak in primetime tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan of Janesville will speak on Wednesday night, and the convention is still set to wrap up on Thursday as originally scheduled. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, August 27th. We will talk about Wisconsin's role in the Republican National Convention for the first half of our state capitol report this hour. And then after 7:30, we will welcome in State Senator Tim Cohen, who, along with Republican State Senator Dale Schultz, is pushing for redistricting reform in Wisconsin. And we will wonder if Wisconsin should change the way it draws its legislative maps. Should this be turned over to an independent commission? That's coming up after 7:30. But right now, we are happy to have with us Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So is this Tropical Storm Isaac a real pain in the butt for the Republicans?
I'm sure it's sort of letting the air out of the balloon for their big festivities, and it's something that they would rather not have to deal with. But at the same time, I suppose you could spin it in a way that shows some flexibility and ability to deal with problems and issues that will pop up on a presidential administration. So to a certain extent, I think the Republicans can make a case to that extent and show how they can adapt to a changing America as they adapt to a hurricane that's bearing down on them.
Yeah, I suppose even though the hurricane, no, tropical storm, did not hit Tampa directly, it also would have looked pretty bad to be, having balloons all over the place when, if for example, New Orleans was being hit hard.
Yeah, certainly. You don't want, the prudent person would say, we don't want that story on television about someone being injured or harmed or the roof being torn off while everybody's inside the arena. So I think that they probably took the wise course, and it seems like they're going to have all of their events go off as they expected. Maybe not exactly when they expected, but they'll certainly wrap it up in time.
Yeah, I see that they compressed their speaker's schedule. I thought I saw that Sean Duffy from Wisconsin was going to be speaking tonight, and I presume if there is no tonight for speeches that we're not going to hear from him.
I suspect he will probably be off the agenda. Certainly a rising star for the Republican Party and one that's going to face a tough race in Wisconsin, and so you might want to try to boost him up by putting him on a national stage. But certainly not someone you would consider a heavy hitter nationally. So I think that if necessary, they'll probably defer him to another time or place to introduce him to the American people.
So that's why he was picked, in part because he is facing a tough race?
I think that certainly has something to do with it. I think because Wisconsin has played such a prominent role nationally in the development of sort of a new theme in GOP politics because of the placement of the RNC chair who's from Wisconsin and Paul Ryan, you know, states like that, with states with that kind of representation often get a little deferential treatment from their party so that they can introduce their state, introduce the prominent political actors from that state to really bolster its position. So I think Duffy had a lot of things going for him in that regard. And he does, I think, face one of the tougher challenges for a freshman around the country today. And parties are always interested in trying to retain freshman members of Congress so that they can build an allegiance from their constituents.
So it says here that Governor Scott Walker will speak in prime time on Tuesday night. Do we know what he's going to say?
Well, I suspect because of his name recognition for the fight that he put up against labor unions and what some would call entrenched liberal interests in the state, that he's going to tie that theme, it's a very local parochial theme, to the broader theme that the Romney campaign is pushing, and that's about We Built It. And I think that he's going to try to focus on the idea that we as a party have tried to transform government, reduce the size of government, reduce spending, give more flexibility to small businesses so that they can produce for the country and for their locality. So I think that's the kind of theme he's going to hit on. I suspect he's going to pull directly from his experience, especially since many believe he was such a great success over the last couple of years in implementing his policy ideas. So I think that's what he'll probably hammer home pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. The We Built It motto, is that also a play on President Obama's comment, "You didn't build that"?
It is. They want to really promote small business, the business person, link it to the theme of Mitt Romney as a business person, about, in essence, the idea of American exceptionalism, the pull yourself up by your bootstrap kind of approach. And of course, Obama has been criticized and dinged about this for 4.5 years, attacking him as someone who's has some antipathy towards small business person, the yeoman farmer. He doesn't believe in America. He's foreign or foreign born. So I think all of these drag in all of these themes that Republicans have beat up Obama about, and they're going to link it all together in a big package, and that's how they're going to promote the candidacy of Mitt Romney in this few days in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. You want to explain what President Obama was saying in context when he said you didn't build that?
Well, of course, there are varying interpretations. What the Obama administration would like people to believe is that when he was talking about small business owners and the success that they've achieved in the United States, that although hard work, their own hard work and their own initiative created their own business, their own industry, they couldn't have done it without the help of the community, a community that builds schools and roads and bridges and creates a stable economy and a working infrastructure. And so even though individual accomplishment is something that we should promote, we have to look at that in the linked to the idea that community can help individuals. The Romney campaign would argue that it is just a jab at anybody in small business, that without government you can't achieve. And in essence, you better genuflect to government, because without them, you can't go anywhere.
Well, we heard in state news that Governor Walker did speak at an event last night in Tampa, a related event. It wasn't the convention itself, but it was the Faith and Freedom Coalition had him there, along with some other conservative speakers. But he was the only one who apparently was protested when he stepped up to the podium. Some banner was unfurled that said Walker has a Koch problem, referring to the Koch brothers. And he just said, hey, this is what I've been dealing with for the past year or so in Wisconsin. He's protested wherever he goes, apparently.
And I think that's one of the trouble that the GOP could run into with individuals like Scott Walker, is you're trying to promote the best possible side of Republican politics, try to burnish your image, and individuals like Walker can be a lightning rod for protests. It's not that you want to bring in the most sort of banal kind of individuals to speak. You want those people, firebrands with new ideas, to really whip up the base and attract new voters. But at the same time, it can really turn people away if they see these kinds of protests, and they might dig deeper about someone they don't know a whole lot about.
We are talking about Wisconsin's role in the GOP convention during this half of our state capitol report. Governor Walker scheduled to speak tomorrow night. The convention is compressed. It has been postponed because of Tropical Storm Isaac. But Governor Walker talks tomorrow night, and Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan talks on Wednesday night. And we welcome your thoughts, your questions about Wisconsin's prominent role in the GOP convention at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. How do you feel about Wisconsin having such a prominent role in the Republican National Party's convention in Tampa? Checking the weather forecast for today, it is going to be mostly sunny and warm, with highs today between 78 and 85 degrees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, August 27th. And a reminder that we will be carrying live coverage, special coverage from NPR of the Republican convention, but that coverage has been postponed along with the start of the convention, so we won't be having that special coverage tonight, but it will start tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. We are talking about the Wisconsin role in the convention during this half of our state capitol report. Wisconsin has a 250-member contingent at the convention, 42 delegates are there as well. The chief architect of the convention is Republican National Committee Chair Reince Priebus from Kenosha. So it's perhaps no surprise that the Wisconsin delegation will have prime seats right across from the stage. One RNC member from Mequon says they are the best seats Wisconsin has had in the last 9 conventions that she's attended. So again, Governor Scott Walker will speak in prime time tomorrow night at the convention. Vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan of Janesville will speak on Wednesday night. Former Milwaukee Catholic Archbishop Timothy Dolan, who is now Archbishop of New York, will deliver the benediction after Mitt Romney's speech on Thursday night. So there's quite a few Wisconsin connections to the convention this year. And Reince Priebus says, we call it the Cheesehead Revolution. People are pretty amazed about what's happening in Wisconsin. They are looking to Wisconsin as a role model to recruit candidates and run a ground game that is second to none. And I'm wondering, Charlie Jacobs, if you've heard this before, that this is the Cheesehead Revolution.
I did see it in an article yesterday in the Journal Sentinel from Milwaukee. It's a really cute play on words, and I think it's going to be near and dear to the hearts of voters in Wisconsin. The one thing to keep in mind, and I certainly don't want to diminish the role of Wisconsin and its political actors in this convention, but if we think back to 2008, I think most of us, and I include myself among them, would be hard-pressed to name some of the speakers over the 3 and 4 days at both the DNC and RNC conventions. And it's typical that one or more states usually gets the spotlight. I think that what's unusual is the number of people in Wisconsin, from Wisconsin, that have been asked to participate. And I think it does have something to do with the transformation that we've seen in politics in the state and the kind of innovation that you've seen from the party to achieve its ends. They've been very aggressive to try to promote their ideas, and I think that's the kind of thing that they want to reflect, because one thing that Romney wants to say is, I'm an outsider, it's not going to be business as usual. Barack Obama talked about hope and change, and we haven't seen the change, and look at what Republicans are doing around the country, look at what they've done in Wisconsin, and so they want that message to resonate among those who are going to watch the convention.
Let's take a call from Bob in Milton. Hello, Bob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. In my opinion, Wisconsin is veering toward the right and even the extreme right. I almost feel like I'm living in Missouri North. Aiken and Paul Ryan, again, in my opinion, are cut from the same piece of fabric. They're both one and the same. And especially with them, looking to reduce funding for Planned Parenthood for women when a small amount of that money goes for abortion, and they forsake the good that it does for women on the whole. It's just too far to the right for my taste.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bob. He brings up the issue of Todd Aiken in Missouri and his comments about legitimate rape and how the Republican leadership tried to distance itself from those remarks. But Paul Ryan did co-sponsor legislation with Aiken. Talk some about that connection and this issue in this presidential race.
I think that the Republicans were a bit surprised by Aiken's comments and then the play that it's gotten. And, of course, it came right at the time that they were drafting their platform for the convention. And I think the party has been trying to tamp down some of the emphasis on the social issues. And they were going to wind up in the platform anyway. But it just gave the opportunity for the media and the public to pay attention to the kind of language that's in the platform regarding abortion and the absence of any exception for women in cases of rape and incest and the like, and other issues on the social end, which I think are becoming less important to a lot of Americans, especially because the economy is now so important. And so it's going to be a real interesting juggling act for them. They have to satisfy a certain element of the base that is very concerned about these social, sometimes religious issues, while at the same time promoting themselves as fiscal conservatives and deficit hawks. And so Aiken created a problem for them. And Ryan, because of his close connection to Aiken, creates an even closer connection for the potential administration. And so I think you're going to see some very, very carefully crafted language and speeches, especially from somebody like Paul Ryan, not necessarily to distance himself, but at least to explain himself in his positions on these kinds of social matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides maybe that careful language, what else do you think we can expect from Paul Ryan tomorrow night, on Wednesday night when he gives his speech?
I think to a certain extent it's going to be like one of those hello, my name is stickers, because even though we know him and we know exactly who, well, at least most of us in the state know who Paul Ryan is, at least by name, if you look at the national polls, 35 to maybe 45% of the public doesn't have enough information about him to make an opinion about him, form an opinion about him. So I think what Paul Ryan is going to do first and foremost is introduce himself. And he's a policy wonk. He likes that label, and I think he's going to try to show people that he is qualified to be vice president, that he has deep roots in thinking about serious and significant political issues. And so I think that's what you're going to see from Paul Ryan. I mean, he's got, I don't want to say a baby face, but he's young, he's youthful, he's fit. But I think he wants to make sure that people know that he's not just what you see, but that he's an intellectual when it comes to policy as well.
Yeah, surely we know him better than the rest of the country, but people have heard of the Paul Ryan budget or Paul Ryan's proposed changes to the Medicare system, don't they?
They have, and in fact, that may be a problem for him. In a lot of swing states, the pollsters have been asking the public, do you think Barack Obama or Mitt Romney would do a better job taking care of Medicare and the like? And Obama wins very strongly. So if they are aware of plans like Mitt Romney's and Paul Ryan's, they tend to prefer what they see from Obama. Now, the questions were not about the health care law. It was about taking care and securing Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems as though the public, at least in swing states, are a little bit worried about the kinds of plans coming from Ryan. And again, remember, Ryan's plan is very detailed and specific, and so people might know the broad brushstrokes of the plan, but I'm not sure they know a lot specifically. They know it's tied to Paul Ryan and that he has these wonky ideas about changing our budget process. They might not go much deeper than that. That's what Ryan has to do when he stands up at the podium Wednesday night.
Yeah, does Mitt Romney have a plan to fix Medicare that is much different than Paul Ryan's? It's confusing.
Mitt Romney's campaign spokespeople have made it clear in the last several weeks that they don't want to delve into specifics,
mm-hmm.
that specifics will only cloud the issue, confuse voters, and possibly lose them the election. A kind of candid and frank approach to their campaigning that I think was off-putting to some. So we know that he wants to reform Medicare. He, in picking Paul Ryan, you can assume that he's endorsing an approach that would move from a system of guaranteed benefits to one where individuals get a voucher that supports a certain amount of health care each year for the elderly. So that seems to be what we know about the Mitt Romney approach at the moment. Maybe we'll see more specifics as the GOP convention unfolds.
Now, the Marquette Law School poll was released last week, and it showed since Mitt Romney picked Paul Ryan as his running mate, there's been a tick up for Mitt Romney in terms of support in Wisconsin. Is this pick going to help Mitt Romney perhaps win Wisconsin?
Perhaps. Generally speaking, what the data shows is that these bumps are often short-lived, and they'll often collapse. They won't disappear, but they'll collapse a bit. It may help more in Wisconsin than elsewhere in the country. There was virtually no nationwide bump because of the announcement of Paul Ryan. But really, he's closed the gap relatively significantly in the last couple of weeks in Wisconsin. Now, whether or not it's just noise and whether or not it's going to be long-lasting is difficult to say. A lot of the pollsters who are running models still see the chance of Barack Obama winning the state is greater than 60%. So, again, it may draw the Romney campaign into the state more, but a lot of it has to do with who's coming out to vote and whether or not the Obama campaign can get their voters to the polls.
Now, this is a national survey from Public Polling Policy, giving Mitt Romney a 48 to 47% edge over President Obama Of course, there's a margin of error there, too. But that's a seven-point swing from the national polling outlet survey since early July. This is going to be a tight race, at least if it were held today, yes?
It's going to be a very tight race. But again, polls have margin of errors, as you noted. It's that little bit of noise in there. Public policy polling uses a slightly different technique in their approach, and so they have a slightly higher unreliability rate than a lot of other polling outlets. I don't want to dismiss them. They're reasonably good polls. But I think that what you have to do is see the trend line over time. And especially after both conventions are complete and we see the bumps that each side gets or does not get, I think we get a clearer picture of what's going to unfold over time. Generally speaking, the polls don't move a whole lot. They move some, but the bumps usually are concrete after the conventions are over. So we get a good sense of where each candidate sits nationwide.
So what should we be watching for or listening for in the coming days at the GOP convention?
I think one of the things that you're going to see, and you sort of heard this from Jeb Bush the other day, is to what extent are the Republicans going to reach out beyond their base and craft a message that attracts the voters that they need, the few independents and moderates.
Radio waves is the best way to keep up with your friends.
We're not sure what that's all about. Go ahead.
the few moderates and independents who are left to make up their mind. And so I think that that's the kind of thing that the Republicans and Romney are going to have to do. To hit a home run with that speech, I think he's got to dial back the red meat that both parties will use with their base and try to broaden their reach with the electorate. Because it's going to be, as you said, it's a tight, tight race, and little things can make a difference, and that can be the big difference. Winning a few more middle-class white male voters, a few more Latinos, attracting women, that can be the difference for Mitt Romney.
Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We'll check news, and then we will welcome in State Senator Tim Cullen to talk about redistricting reform. I'm Joy Cardine.